We've had this problem on each of your successes, and my notes have been taken. I want this work done. Katzenberg grudgingly said he'd make sure his concerns were addressed. Eisner then called Peter Schneider, peppering him with questions about what had or had not been done to address his concerns about Pocahontas. After brooding further on the subject, he called Schneider again the next day. The conversations confirmed his suspicions that Katzenberg was deliberately trying to keep him in the dark. He was especially angry when Schneider told him that Katzenberg had scheduled a screening for 7 a.m. that Friday without telling Eisner. Even if he had invited Eisner, he must have known that he couldn't be there that early. Caught between the two, Schneider reported Eisner's call to Katzenberg, who was furious that Eisner had gone around him. He dashed off a handwritten note. "You're feeling the need to be calling Peter Schneider and checking up on me and inquiring whether or not your notes are being addressed on Pocahontas does not work for me at all. You're calling Peter again today to ask what has been done, asking, had it been discussed with Mencken Schwartz, are we doing a big production number, etc., instructing him to call you tomorrow immediately after my screening to report to you the status is at best amazing. But what may be even worse is what this says about your lack of confidence and trust in me to do what I said I would do. If this is how you see us dealing with one another in the future, it's not for me." Furious, Eisner phoned Sid Bass and read him the letter. "It's Friday. A good time to leave a company. Call up Jeffrey and tell him to get out," Bass said. Next, Eisner sent a copy of the letter to Litvak and told him that Sid Bass had said to fire him. This time, Litvak counseled restraint. "Do it on your schedule. Get stronger. Do it when you have a substitute organization," he said. Eisner called Bass back. He agreed they should wait. Jane said he shouldn't have any more dealings with Katzenberg while he was trying to recuperate. It was too upsetting. Finally, Eisner called Katzenberg and said, "Your letter was wrong, out of place, silly, and more importantly, I am not going to deal with you for weeks. It's upsetting to me and retarding my recovery. If that's a problem, too bad." He hung up, highly agitated, and called Litvak. "Call Jeffrey and put a lid on the whole thing," Eisner ordered. Litvak promised that he'd make Katzenberg feel guilty about Eisner's health and would buy time. "Jeffrey is without guilt, and his advisor, David Geffen, is worse," Eisner replied. Litvak did speak to Katzenberg and then relayed the conversation to Eisner. These remarks, it seems, were the last straw. Eisner described the meeting as relayed to him by Litvak in another letter to Erwin Russell. "Dear Erwin, in that I wrote the last letter to you about Jeffrey Katzenberg and his strange, ego-provoked, awkward positions, I thought I would write to you Chapter 2. Actually, putting bewildering personal behavior on paper is therapeutic for me, instructive for Roy and Stanley, eventually for the entire board, and maybe someday even for arbitration. And if for no other reason, Breck feels we are living out a Shakespearean play, and it is worth remembering. Let's call this saga the Post-Michael Eisner Quadruple Bypass Saga, or How I, Jeffrey Katzenberg, Planned to Increase Michael's Stress, Selfishly